Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and although spring feels like it's a long, long way away, pruning season is almost upon us, and we're going to start the hour today with some guidance for pruning shade trees. Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, will join us in a few minutes to answer your questions about any of the other plants in your life. But with me now is Mark Vitosh, DNR Forester. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. Hopefully you can hear me.
I can. Thank you so much for being here today. And pruning shade trees is something that really takes on a whole lot more urgency now that we have seen the kind of damage a storm like August's derecho can do. Why is it so important to think about this?
That's a great question. So, I mean, that storm was very significant. But I noticed some differences. I mean, up in the Cedar Rapids area, Linn County, parts of Benton, way to the east where the wind speeds were 120 miles an hour, a lot of trees failed. The big oaks that we always talk about, how strong they are, failed. A lot of different species failed. But I live in the Iowa City area, and we had lighter winds in the 70s and 80s. And the one thing I saw was there a lot of the trees that failed had defects in them, and they failed at those defects. And the good news is with good pruning in the first 5 to 20 years of a tree's life, we can prune out some of those defects and promote good health and structure to those trees. And if we do it early as those trees are developing, we can actually make them stronger when these type of storms come around.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is that with that, the intensity of the storm in some of those areas, there's nothing that people could necessarily have done to help prepare their trees to withstand that kind of damage. But in the areas where the wind was not quite as strong, and in areas where the storm was maybe more representative of the kinds of storms that we usually have,
right,
we can make a difference.
But even in the area where the winds were really bad, trees that had poor structure failed just automatically. Mm. And there were some trees, though, that were trained, especially some of the younger ones, because up in the high wind areas, the smaller trees actually did better. Because they could move a little better, or they didn't move as much because they didn't have as much structure, so they didn't snap. But the thing I noticed was younger trees that didn't have some development little pruning, I can say it here, developing pruning, they still fail. But trees that had been pruned in those really high winds, those young trees still did okay, but you're right. When we had 120 mile an hour winds, some of the older trees, no matter what had been done, the winds just took them.
All right. So a lot of people are going to be planting trees this year. Obviously, that's something we need to do, but it's also something we get really excited about doing. We will spend an hour on Hort Day talking about how best to plant trees. When do you need to start thinking about pruning the trees that you've planted?
So if we did a good job of tree selection and did a good job of actually picking the individual tree that we plant, at planting, we really shouldn't be doing any pruning at all. We shouldn't be cutting them back. We shouldn't be doing anything. The only kind of pruning that we might do at planting is if we've got a neighborhood and we're bringing in, you know, 25, 30 trees on a truckload or whatever, and maybe a branch here or a branch there breaks, we're going to fix those branches at planting. Unless they're an oak, and we'll talk about that maybe at some point too. But in general, at planting, we shouldn't be doing any kind of pruning. And if we get good structured trees from our nurseries, there shouldn't be really a need for pruning. And really, it could be you know, 3 to 4 years before you start to do any kind of structural pruning on those trees at all.
All right. And then what do you do to make a plan when it's time?
Okay. So when we look at the tree, the thing we need to think about is, why do we want to prune? Why are we pruning in the first place? And with shade trees, there's a number of reasons why we might be pruning. The first is safety for things like clearance, and that can be even for mowing. So we want to safely be able to mow our lawn. We're going to raise that tree up to some height so we can eventually do that. We can also do it for tree health, which we talked about. That's developing good structure, long-term structure in that tree. And again, if we develop that early on, we can prevent a lot of problems later. And then sometimes we may prune for appearance also. So the thing that we need to think about is, if we plant, Charity, an 8-foot tree, okay, let's say 6 to 8 foot tree, we get that planted in our yard, and that tree starts to grow. The thing you got to remember is, if you decide that, hey, eventually I want 7-foot clearance so that I can mow underneath that tree over time as it develops, okay? The thing you got to remember is, all those branches up to 7 feet will not move. If you have a branch at 4 feet, it grows out from the tips. The trunk gets bigger in diameter, but that branch will always be at 4 feet. So that means if you eventually want 7 feet of clearance, those first 7 feet of branches on that 8-foot tree are all temporary branches that you have to prune off at some point to get your clearance. The thing that I want you not to do, though, is, after listening to a talk like this, if you have a 10-foot or 8-foot tree to go out some afternoon and prune up to your 7-foot clearance in one day. This is a long process. So the first thing we need to do is identify what are our temporary branches and what are our permanent branches. So, you know, we may want 6-foot clearance, 5-foot clearance, 8-foot, whatever it is, whatever that number is, below are temporary, and above, you're going to have some permanent branches. But even above that clearance line, there still may be some temporary branches up there that you may take out over time. So our goal is, we want to leave those lower branches till they're about an inch in diameter, and we tend to want to get them off before they're 2 inches in diameter. If we're doing clearance pruning on an oak tree, a maple tree, whatever kind of general shade tree it is, if we're talking bigger shade trees and we're doing that clearance, we want to do that over time. So it may take numerous years. I'm doing some pruning on a tree in my front yard, and I'm up to about 7 feet, and I've been doing it over 8 years right now. So I'm doing it. I'm taking, as those branches get closer between 1 and 2 inches, I take those off. And so I may only prune 1 or 2 branches a year as I get up to that process. So if you want to be able to do something, though, as that tree develops, the other thing on shade trees, we want to develop one terminal shoot, one main leader. So if you look at your hand and you do a peace sign, you don't want a peace sign on a good shade tree. You want one leader, so you have to pick the best, straightest leader, and you prune one of those off. With those, though, we don't wait to get them to 1 inch, because we want to get it down to one leader. As soon as we see a double leader on a good shade tree, we want to prune one of those off and train it to one leader as long as we can to promote good structure.
I hear a veiled warning there that we don't want to get chainsaw or saw happy, because once we start cutting, it's pretty easy to keep cutting, isn't it?
Right. The thing is, it's planting is really easy to do. Well, it's not easy. I mean, we can mess that up too, but everybody wants to plant trees, but the thing we got to remember is, good maintenance and pruning and stuff can take many years. The thing with this kind of pruning, though, is a good pull saw, a pair of loppers, a good hand saw. Some of this development I can't say it today. Developing pruning can be done by us. We don't necessarily need to hire a professional, but we can. If you need assistance, there's professionals that can develop young trees too. But if you like to do some things yourself, pruning younger trees and developing that good structure long term is something with a good pair of hand clippers, a hand saw, a good lopper, a pole saw. Those are things that we can do ourselves. And then as those trees develop, we can contact those professional arborists to help with those larger trees, stuff that's not as safe. But when you're pruning a young tree like this, there is no need for a chainsaw. We can use smaller equipment. It's easier to cut. It's easier to make those cuts and less potential to cause damage to the structure of the tree.
Now, okay, if we've done this work all the way along, of course, our tree is going to be in pretty good shape. After that first 8 or 10 years, how often do we need to think about pruning that tree?
Well, through that whole process, we may be lifting, but we may also be looking up in our permanent structure and pruning out rubbing and crossing branches or branches that are pointed down, maybe spreading some of those branches out. So, I mean, generally over time, every few years as you're developing that tree, you should be looking for things that, you know, if you get a broken branch, those kinds of things, you want to look at some, you know, continued structure pruning. And, you know, as trees get bigger, we still may do some lifting and some of those things. So every few years, you should probably be looking at those trees. But I would say in the first 15 years, every year you should be looking at things, you know, and it could be beyond 15, but in the first 15 to 20 years, every year you should be looking at that structure and looking at potential need. The thing you got to remember is in the woods, those trees lift themselves because of shade and competition. There's natural competition, and that shade actually shades some of those lower branches, and they kind of self-prune themselves. But when you put that tree out in the open, full sunlight, hey, they can go wild, they can grow. So we need to work with them a little bit to kind of help them develop.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. And of course, you can call in with any of your tree pruning questions or any questions about the plants and trees in your life. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. We've been talking about pruning your trees with Mark Vitosh, DNR Forester. Cindy Haynes is also here now, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. I'm sure this is a difficult time as a southern transplant for you. Are you holding up okay?
My dad called me the other day, and he was complaining because it was near freezing, and I let it rip that we were below zero, so he doesn't call and complain about the cold weather in Louisiana anymore.
All right. Well, you can call us. You can complain about the cold weather because we're all in the same boat. You can also ask questions about the plants and trees in your life. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Tiffany's on the line in Des Moines with a question for you. Mark, hi, Tiffany.
Yes. Hi. I have a question for Mr. Vitosh.
Sure.
And so we bought our house about 10 years ago from some owners that didn't care for their house nor the landscaping. We had our 5 trees trimmed about 5 years ago. They've been there at least 10 years, if not longer. They're probably 25, 30 feet tall. How often should we have those trees trimmed for development structure because they haven't been cared for?
If If it's been, how many years has it been since they've been trimmed now, since you had it done?
5 years. We're going to have them trimmed in a couple of weeks because of the derecho damage, but I would really like to care for these trees.
I would have whoever you hire look at them, do their pruning, and then have them talk to you about seeing if they need to come back every few years to continue that developmental pruning.
Okay. And I think they were called hackberry trees by the prior company. How long-lived are those?
Hackberries are fine. I mean, they probably have a lifespan of anywhere from probably 70 over 100 years. I mean, they're a fairly durable tree. They don't have a lot of disease or insect issues. They're a pretty common urban tree. So they're similar to elm in their structure. And so in general, you know, if they're, again, the thing that you want to avoid is trees get older. We don't want to just come every few years and do what we call a thinning, because a lot of times if we come in and we take a lot of the inner branches out or we take too much of a tree during, in general, we should never prune probably more than 15 to 20% of a tree. So if they're going to prune every few years, so they should be going after poor structure, rubbing and crossing branches. They should really have a focus and not just go in there to prune. They should really do it for a purpose, and if they do that, I think it'll continue to develop the trees.
Okay. Thank you for your advice, Mr. Vitosh.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for your call, Tiffany. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Mark, I'm sure a lot of people are still dealing with damage from the derecho all over the state, not just in the hardest hit areas, because of course getting a tree service to help you out in the fall was almost impossible for a lot of people. There was just so much demand. So this spring, what should we be thinking about and looking for with our damaged trees?
That's a great question. So the one thing to focus on is if they do have an oak, we probably need to get those pruned in the next month or so. I mean, we usually say March 1st, but looking at the extended forecast, I think it's going to be cold for a while still. So we may be able to extend that in to early to middle March. But if you have oaks, you'd want to prune those now. With other trees, though, if they still tell you, hey, we can't get you to early summer, midsummer, that's fine. I think the thing we want to focus on and what I've seen with damaged trees is if you have trees with a lot of broken tops, broken stubs, if we can prune those stubs back to what we call a branch collar, that's going to allow those trees to seal. The thing we have to remember is trees do not heal like we do. Trees actually seal. So they can make a compartment internally around those wounds. And then if they're pruned correctly, they can actually seal that wound with new tissue and then close that wound shut and keep decay from moving. So if we have trees in our landscape that were damaged pretty significantly, if we can clean those stubs back, we're going to give that tree a better chance to seal those wounds over time.
Let's go back to the phones. Sue's got a question about her oak. Hello, Sue.
Yes, I have a bur oak that I've been waiting to grow up. And last year I pruned it so that it had a nice straight leader. It wasn't the strongest one, but it was the straightest one. So I pruned it out. I mean, pruned it so it would be good. And then through the summer, Miss Fatty Squirrel decided to practice her climbing skills, and she went up on my tree, and she tried every single branch up near the top she could, and she broke off about five of them, including my nice leader. So now the leader that I have left is about 25 to 30% off center. It is a strong one, but I didn't know if I should try and pull it back or if I should wait for a new branch to come or what I should do.
I would probably work with that branch that you have, Sue. Even though it's off center, if it curves a little bit, it's probably because of the growth of the tree and the light competition. Even though that curves, if that curve is natural, it's going to look kind of odd, but over time, think about as that diameter gets bigger, that curve is going to kind of dissipate as far as how you visually see it. But it may always have a little bit of curve, because unless you have another leader close by that you could train, it's really hard to try to pull that up. So you're just going to have to deal with that curve a little bit.
Okay, so you don't think I should try and, I don't know, tie it and pull it over to the garage
or something like that, just let it be then? Yeah, the thing if you do that is it's really hard for that tree to develop, because what a tree does when it has a little bend, it actually develops what they call reaction wood. It's actually developing internal wood that is dealing with that curve to make it stronger. So even though it curves a little bit, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's weaker. So, and if you bring that back up and you're actually trying to straighten it, you're actually probably breaking tissue and causing that tree to reorient again. So you're better to leave it the way it is and just realize that you may have a little curvature there.
Okay. And then I need to go get a ladder and go out in the snowbank and try and trim those other five off in the next couple weeks, you're saying, too, huh?
Well, if they're broken and you can prune them back, yeah. If they're actually snapped off or they're kind of broken back to the trunk, you would want to kind of clean them up. And if they're smaller, I mean, if you can get a small pole pruner or something like that, you know, if you have branches that are the size of your pinky or your ring finger, using a pole pruner or something like that, you may be able to reach up with that without having to get to the ladder.
Yeah, that's an idea. I didn't think about that. That might be easier because
probably be safe to be on the ground.
She snapped them all off, and so they're just hanging there. They're about
if they're hung off, you want to clean those back to the trunk. Yes, ma'am.
Cut them back to the trunk then.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Sue. And Mark, since you mentioned this earlier, we normally have some calendar dates that we look at when we talk about the appropriate time to prune oak trees. We are not suggesting that anybody go out and prune anything this weekend.
Yes, ma'am. No, I'm not. So, I think we have time.
Okay, so what is the indication? How long is it going to be okay to prune oaks? What do we need to look for in the weather?
So we have a forest health specialist, T-Bone Feely, out of Des Moines, and what he does, he actually accumulates degree days for when the potential of oak wilt is out there and the beetles that carry that fungus. And in most years, that time is usually sometime around the middle of March. I tend to be pretty conservative, and I tell folks if they can target it, I would stop pruning our oak trees in early March. But I also, if someone calls me on March 1st and we still have an average temperature during the day in the 30s and nights are still low, we can still go, you know, a couple more weeks. If we start getting in the 50s and things really start warming up and insects start flying around, we probably shouldn't be pruning our oaks anymore.
Okay. So we unfortunately have
It's hard to tell you that it's going to be March 17th or something like that. But I would say, you know, again, looking at the extended forecast, we can definitely go up till March 1st, but looking at the extended forecast, I have a feeling that we're going to probably have at least a few weeks in the first part of March where it's going to be cold enough. We could probably still prune oaks if we need to.
Okay, that's pretty demoralizing, but good advice. Let's get back to the phones. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Jamie's on the line in Jewel. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
My husband and I just bought a house, and we have spent the last 5 years putting a lot of plants on our rental property. So we are trying to hold off until April to move so that we can dig up our plants and take them with us. With that being said, the new house has some work that needs to be done that we do not want to plant our plants immediately upon moving in, and so the plan right now is to keep them in pots through the summer and next winter as well, and then plant them the following spring.
So we're wondering what we need to do to protect them while they're above ground and in pots through the summer, fall, and winter of this upcoming year.
Cindy?
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a diversity of plants. Are these trees, shrubs, perennials? What do you
have? We have some shrubs, and we're taking our magnolia tree, and we have a lot of hostas and some other bulbs.
Okay. Well, with the bulbs, the perennials, this is, you know, very possible. Put them in the largest container that they will fit into kind of comfortably when you plant them. I would suggest when you take them to the new house that you put them in kind of a shaded location because hostas like some shade, and you're going to have to water them continuously throughout the growing season. And then next fall, just bury the whole container, the plants and everything in the whole container, in kind of a big nursery bed for those kind of those plants if you're not ready to plant them. Obviously, the sooner you can plant them, the better they'll be. But if you can't plant them until 2022, kind of create this kind of nursery bed, which insulates the soil in the container with the plant through the winter. And then you can throw some leaves and mulch on top to further insulate it. Those are the easiest to take care of. Any shrubs or trees or that magnolia, I would say if you can plant them next year or this year, that would be ideal. Magnolias really like to be planted in the spring and generally don't do incredibly well long periods in containers, so especially one that's just recently been dug up. So consider that. And if it doesn't happen, then spring of 2022 is a possibility, but you're going to have to find a way to really protect that root system. Hopefully it's a smaller plant that, once again, you can bury that container in kind of a nursery bed and leave everything outside so that it goes dormant as normally it would. But you'll have to, you know, further insulate that root system until it can be planted in the spring.
Okay. Our magnolia isn't very happy where it's at right now. It gets a lot of watershed and probably 70% sun through the day, and then it does get some shade. Where would be the ideal environment for it to really thrive and take off? It's been in the ground in that place for probably 2 years, and I think I've only gotten about 8 inches of growth on it.
Right. So magnolias do like a good, well-drained soil. So if you can make sure that it's in a location that it does drain a little bit better, they don't like wet feet. And most magnolias prefer, especially if it's a blooming magnolia, they prefer to get, you know, as much sun as possible. So 70% is good, but if you can get closer to 90%, then you're probably going to get better growth and better blooms on that magnolia. And Mark, do you have any advice on magnolias?
I agree with everything you said, Cindy. The only thing I would check maybe is when they do dig it up to make sure that there's no encircling roots or stem girdling roots on that when they planted it, if it was in a pot at the beginning. If it's got a lot of circling roots and stuff, they're going to want to do some root pruning before they transplant it to help it along. There could be issues like that going on of why it's not growing as well also.
Yeah, that's a really good point and a good time to fix it. So, in digging it up to kind of do some root pruning.
Mm-hmm. And also have them check their planting depth to make sure that first lateral root was at ground level. If they start digging and they're not finding roots for the first couple inches, that tree was probably planted too deep originally. So, and sometimes when they're in the pot, they're a little too deep. So they want to check that too.
So those are very helpful tips. I really appreciate it. I love that magnolia, so I hope to see it thrive.
Yeah, good luck.
We do too.
Thanks a lot for your call, Jamie. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here's an email question from Jordan. I'll be planting 100 black walnut trees in honor of my grandpa, who loved black walnuts, and for my one-year-old daughter to potentially sell for lumber someday. I purchased 30 saplings from ISU, 30-inch saplings from ISU, which will arrive in late April. What's the most efficient way to plant all 100 in a weekend?
So, Jordan, actually, even with a good shovel, if they're 30 inches and the root systems aren't super big, if he has a good spade and he can open up that hole and then put those roots in so they don't J-root or L-root, you want to put it in at the depth of what we call the root collar, and that's basically where the trunk meets the roots. That's the depth that you want it at in the ground. But when you dig that hole, make sure that that hole is deep enough so you can spread those roots out and pack it back in. A lot of people like to use power augers and post hole diggers. I would avoid that because a lot of times we go too deep and then we can't pack it in enough, and when you plant it, it settles. So I would try to use a spade to open up a good hole, get it in correctly, put that spade back in, get the soil around it, and pack it in.
All right, and I've got a couple follow-up questions for you after the break. I'm talking with Mark Vitosh, DNR Forester, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa, and you're welcome to join us. Call 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa.
The way Iowans consume news has changed a lot since the coronavirus pandemic hit in 2020. But people here still need to know what's going on in the state every day. What are leaders saying?
The virus isn't going away until we have a vaccine.
How are medical professionals reacting, and how is it affecting hospital staff and schools?
Those weekends where you are on the phone and sending emails and, you know, dealing with people with a very emotional issue has been really hard.
I'm Clay Masters. In 2021, Iowa Public Radio is starting a podcast called Hear First. It's a quick daily show for your work week that catches you up on state news as you begin your day. Get analysis from IPR's team of reporters.
Most of the improvement in the unemployment picture comes from more than 90,000 Iowans no longer looking for work.
Find out when high-profile politicians are in the state.
Back at the state fair!
Learn about what's going on in state government and discover Iowans you might not hear about otherwise.
This is the first time I have spoken with a woman without documents who's also unafraid of sharing her story on the radio.
Subscribe to Iowa Public Radio's Hear First wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Mark Vitosh, DNR Forester. They are here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Mark, so before the break, I'd asked you a question from Jordan about planting 100 walnut trees or black walnut trees. He also wants to know, would he want to do any pruning at planting time?
So the only pruning that he should do at planting time is if he has some really large roots and they're really sticking out, he can lightly prune those back a little bit to make the roots a little more uniform. But the stems, if they come from the state forest nursery, should be a single stem, so there shouldn't be any trunk pruning on those. And if they want to develop good structure walnut trees for his daughter or his grandkids somewhere down the road, because the thing you got to remember, walnut trees are probably going to take 60 to 90 years to get to a good size before they're harvested or before they can be harvested. So it's a long-term commitment. But you do the same kind of thing is you leave those lower branches till they're about an inch, and then you slowly prune them up to get clearer trunk and clearer wood, and then you develop one straight stem. The other thing I would tell you, Charity, is if he goes to iowadnr.gov, and then clicks on forestry and state forest nursery, we have a nice little publication on successful tree planting of seedlings that talks about their care, talks about using a shovel or a spade, and kind of gives some tips on how to get those trees in correctly.
All right. He also says he purchased 6-foot plantar tree tubes to help prevent deer browsing. Mm-hmm. Sound like a good idea?
It is, especially if he has deer browsing. So basically, he wants to plant the tree first, and then you place the tube over the top. The other thing is, if those tubes come with what they call bird protectors, little nets on top, he wants to make sure that he keeps those nets on there until the tops of the tree starts to come out of the tube, because those actually keep bluebirds from going down in the tube and actually getting killed. It actually helps the bluebird. If you leave that top of that tube open with little seedlings in it, they see that as a cavity. They'll actually go down in, and then they get trapped. So they have these little bird nets that are just these little sleeves that you put on top. And if they don't come with them, he can order them. I would strongly encourage him to keep the bird netting on there. But the tubes grow the trees very quickly because they're like a little mini greenhouse. So once they get out of the tube, if you take the tube off right away, that tree will actually just kind of fall over because it didn't develop a lot of good structure. So he's going to have to leave them in the tube for a couple years till they get 3 or 4 feet out of the tube and develop that good strength. Then they'll stand up on their own. But if he has deer, those tubes can work, but you have to maintain them.
Okay. All right.
I have a lot of experience with tubes. It
clearly
takes maintenance.
All right.
Lot of personal experience. So do my two daughters.
And some strong feelings as well.
Yes.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Clark is on the line in Oskaloosa. Hi, Clark.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What's your question?
A couple questions. One, we lost a few ash trees the last year or two, and we were wanting to replant. They're good shade trees for the house. Is there kind of a rule of thumb how close to plant a new tree from the old, like, 2 to 3 foot stump, like a certain distance away? And then second was, I kind of like tulip trees. I don't hear much talk about them, but they're kind of a big shade tree. And what are your thoughts on those as far as variety? We have mostly silver maple and oaks on the property otherwise.
Okay, so for distance on those trees that were already there, a lot of times you can see what they call the root flare. And a lot of times you can go in between where those root flares are. So usually, if you can start digging a hole within 2 to 4 feet of the old existing stub, that's okay. You can be that close. As long as you can find an area where you can start to dig and you don't have a lot of roots, you can plant within a few feet of that stump. The one thing I would avoid is stumping it out and trying to plant right back in that same spot. That's usually pretty difficult to do, but usually within a few feet, if you can find some areas to dig, you should be okay. Things will decompose around it, but that shouldn't cause an issue. And as far as tulip trees, you're talking about tulip poplar. It's not a poplar, but it's called tulip poplar. The leaf actually looks like, if you were to draw a tulip, that's what that leaf looks like. I think that's what you're talking about. And down in Oskaloosa, those trees are will do well. They are very fast growing, Clark, so I would make sure that over time I develop one good straight leader. That's going to help with structure. The other thing I would suggest is, if you're going to plant multiple trees, think about throwing another species or two in there too. That way, if you ever have any issues, you don't lose everything.
Yep. All right. Appreciate the info. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for your call, Clark. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Next up, Patrick in Kyoto. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Good. What's your question?
So we bought a farmhouse about 2 years ago, and we've been kind of going through. It was abandoned for about 14 years, and so we've been doing yard work and trying to get everything back in order. And we were left a lilac orchard, I would call it. There's probably 15 bushes planted in rows, and it's kind of unsightly as they've all been left alone. So how do we'd like to put an apple orchard, 4 or 5 trees in position of where those are at. So how do we best remove the lilac bushes and move forward?
Who wants to tackle that one?
But you can do a number of different things on this one. So you can actually prune lilacs to the ground and then try and dig up the root systems as well, particularly if there's one area that you want to remove them. You can also do some renewal pruning on some of them so that you can really, take them way back to make them a little bit smaller, and then kind of keep them a smaller version of them, I guess, on the edge of the apple orchard. Lilacs are big ones. We'll have a nice root system, and ideally, if you're going to be planting apples nearby, you might want to try and get as much of the stem system out as well as much of that kind of root system, at least so that they can have apple roots can kind of grow in that area as well. Not an easy task because lilacs can get quite big, but good exercise. Let's put it that way. Good exercise in removing those, and probably best done as much as possible, actually, by hand.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Patrick. Next up, we've got Chris in Mount Vernon. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I've got a question. I've got some cherry and maple trees that were damaged by the derecho. I live in Linn County, and they are leaning pretty severely. They're probably 20 to 30 feet tall and maybe 3 to 4 inches in diameter. And I'm going to rent a cherry picker for some construction I'm doing. Should I be trying to tie those up and pull them back vertically?
So my concern, Chris, on these, and I've seen a lot of these, that's all I've done in the last 6 months is work in Linn County, and I've seen a lot of these trees. My concern is when those trees bend like that, there's a lot of stress on that wood, and in a lot of cases that wood is trying to react to that. And in a lot of cases, there's tears and stuff in that wood fiber. And if we pull them back up, we're going to have a tendency to re-damage it all over again. And I just find it hard, trees that size, if we pull them back up, for them to really develop the strength again to stay straight. So okay. I hate to say this, but I would strongly consider starting over or leaving them the way they are if they're not in an area that you're concerned with and just let them go.
Yeah, now they've got ice on them and they're even leaning more. So I have a feeling they're not going to survive. I just wondered if there was something I could try. So
My concern is their strength is it's going to cause more damage pulling them back to try to straighten them up.
All right. Good luck with that, Chris. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Susan in Iowa City. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I was wondering about bulbs I did not get planted in the fall, if they're still worth planting, and also old vegetable seed, if you should bother with that.
All right, Cindy.
So bulbs that you didn't get planted in the fall, I would check them first, feel them, make sure that they're still solid, they're still firm, that they're not any soft spots or mold. I would probably try and force these, which means potting them up and putting them in a refrigerator, or potting them up, and if they've been in a garage where it's been cold, you might actually be able to pot them up, bring them indoors, and they might bloom for you at kind of an odd time because, you know, we all need that, especially right now. It is unlikely that the bulbs will still work and be good for planting in the spring. And it's unlikely that if you plant them in the spring that they will actually bloom well for spring. So that's kind of a missed opportunity. And it really depends on the bulb and how firm it is and if it's rotting or if it kind of loses all and just kind of becomes dust, because sometimes that can happen, especially over the winter.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you about the vegetable seeds.
As far as the vegetable seeds, many vegetable seeds will last for a couple of years. Ideally, they're sold in the year that they're sold and they're sown in that year, and you get really good seed viability. But I will tell you that the viability might go down in the next year or two. So if you're going to use older vegetable seed, and if it's only a year or two old, I would just tell you to sow more than you normally would and expect 50% germination instead of 90% germination, and you're probably still good. If it's more than 5 years old or 7 years old, then germination really dips down on many different vegetables, and I would probably get some new or fresh seed.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot for your call. And Cindy, while we are talking tangentially about flowers, of course, this is one of the biggest weekends for the sale of cut flowers. And right. Here in Iowa, we are in the deep freeze. And right. So I know yesterday I kept myself from buying some orchids at the store because I thought I can't even keep them safe between the store and the car. Do you have any advice for us on how to buy flowers in the middle of a frozen tundra?
Right. It requires, and you've got it right, that trip from the store to the car and then from the car inside, you really need to make sure you kind of keep them very protected. The store often will wrap them well for you, and I will tell you, you're going to pull your car up to the front, and you're going to put it in, as instantly as possible into that warm car that's already been heated up. When it's this cold, many of the tropical plants or house plants and flowers that are sold would be very sensitive and show some kind of winter burn from these really cold temperatures. So protect them as much as you possibly can.
Right.
Or maybe it's a gift certificate.
An IOU
Valentine's
in
Day.
3 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very romantic. You should be a couples therapist, probably.
I know. I'm not going to make it for that one, I'm sure.
All right. Here's a question for you, Mark, from Bill in Sac City. Tree service work people frequently prune large trees. They often pay no attention to the branch or ridge collar when a limb is cut, oftentimes cut branches 6 inches and larger and may remove much more than 30% of the crown. What's your advice in selecting a qualified tree service to do large tree pruning?
Well, the one thing I would suggest, it's not the only thing. There's a couple things. There's a group called the Iowa Arborist Association in Iowa. See if they're a member of that. There's also a group called the International Society of Arboriculture, which the Iowa Arborist Association is associated with. Those folks take a little extra training. They actually have to be a certified arborist. They have to take some extra training, get CEUs every year to kind of keep up on that. The other thing is I would ask around, but I would also the thing is, when you ask to get a tree pruned, do your own research, understand what you want done, and really lay out to them what you're interested in, what you want done, and, be around to kind of see how they do it. Most groups that I see out there do a really good job. There's a lot of good tree services throughout Iowa. Sometimes, though, if you got people, especially with the derecho and stuff, moving through, looking not their best interest for trees, so to speak, looking to make income, aren't looking for the best interest of the tree. So avoid those kind of groups. Look for local folks that have been around a while. But like I said, there are a lot of good services. Just like any other business, there's a few that maybe give others a bad name, but there's a lot of good folks out there.
All right,
but I would do your research on, look at the different publications on pruning. Iowa State has a really good publication, and really understand what you want and make sure you communicate that to them when they look at your tree. And have them tell you what they plan on doing.
All right. Open communication.
Yes, ma'am.
Final very quick question, Mark, from Kathy. I planted 2 standard apricot trees last fall because I couldn't find dwarfs. Can I keep them pruned to a dwarf size as they grow?
I'm going to throw that to Cindy.
Okay.
Yeah, you probably can, because apricots aren't huge. They're not usually as large as some other things like cherries or other types of fruit trees. It is going to require some regular pruning, and a lot like Mark said before, get them established first, and you try not to remove more than 20-25% in any single year. So, but be prepared to have that something you're going to be doing every year to kind of keep it into a size that you want.
All right. Well, Cindy Haynes, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Mark Vitosh, thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity as always.
Mark Vitosh, DNR Forester. We will be back again with Horticulture Day in 2 weeks. And then starting at the beginning of March, we'll be back to having weekly shows, and spring will come for sure. Have a great weekend and happy Valentine's Day. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Neppe. Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.